talked about claiming our inheritance from Galatians 4, if you remember, right? That we are called God's sons and daughters, and we have the opportunity. He puts out this option for us to claim this inheritance, to be his son or daughter, right? And this moment of understanding God as our father, our dad, is one that can change our perspective of how he loves us as a son or daughter and wants the best for us, wants to see our life just blossom in his presence, right? And we get this option to do that. And this is part of that taking that leap and what that looks like. And today we're going to talk about purpose. Purpose. And finding our purpose and taking that leap with that and understanding it. And I think within in our life, we have always gone through this. We start off in our adolescence trying to figure out who we are and what we are and how we are and live as what we want to be, right? We're always trying to figure that out. And every stage in life, I think we try to figure that out. We become on our own. And, you know, I started from teenage years into college student to graduate meant, hey, now I'm a man. And what that means is I'm responsible for my own bills and making sure I have a roof over my head. And now I have to make my own meal and I have to do my laundry, you know, once a month. You know, those are the things that you start to learn, you start to figure out, right? And you start to learn your purpose, right? And every day you can start to whine, start to estrange, start to just go, why am I really here? Day in, day out, I go to the same place, you know, 5 days a week, 6 days a week, maybe even 7 days a week. Is it meaningful? Is the purpose that I have worth being here, right? And I start thinking about that in terms of, like, who I am. And that next stage in my life, I got married and I was a husband and what that looked like and how I needed to learn how to be a husband, right? I had a great educator. She told me how to be that way, right? You know, in all those stages. And then I became a parent. Woo, that changed life, right? Oh, man. A parent just changes everything. And if you remember, like, what God says in Galatians, he is our dad, he is our father. I started taking that on the firstborn, Jackson. I was so overwhelmed. I was not ready to have a kid. Jackson was one of those, plug your ear, Jackson, oh, no. We're having a kid. Moments, right? And I remember when Michelle was going into labor with Jackson, and I held Jackson for the first time. Whoa, whoa! I could feel the weight of responsibility on my shoulders, and I it was a gift. It was a gift, but man, it was a scary gift. I had this little life in my hands. And he depended on me. I barely made it to this age, right? It's all my thoughts were. And I just remember sitting down going, God, thank you for this gift. Thank you for this. And now I have even a huge purpose in my life to be a father to this son of mine. And a godly father to this son of mine. And I remember praying and going, God, listen, I know I can't be what you have called, like, what you really want me to be. I give you back this son. This is your son, and I hope to raise him correctly, and I hope to give him the life that you desire. But God, most importantly, may he know you in all this, right? And then I became a parent of two, of a daughter. I didn't have gray hairs until that one came, all right? And now it's balding. It's, yeah, oh, she's a teenager now, went to her first dance. How are you supposed to act, dads? I'm trying to figure that out. Am I cool with it? Do we go with the shotgun wherever I go, I guess, from now on? I don't know. I'm trying to learn those things, right? Finding my purpose. in all this is such a substantial thing. And we're going to be reading out of Exodus today. And we're going to be talking about Moses finding out his purpose and his first statement with God after he was told what his purpose is. And let me before Exodus 4, 1 through 5, let me kind of give you what's going on here. We have Moses, who was a shepherd. He was tending his flock, and he was out and about, and all of a sudden he sees this bush on fire. And you think, all right, bush on fire. But it's not being consumed. It's just on fire. Just, have you ever seen something on fire that's never consumed, that is still there as a bush, and it's on fire, and it's still maintaining its essence of itself? That's pretty cool. I think if I was Moses, I'd stop and go, what's going on there? How can I? Okay, let's go check this out. And then it starts talking to you. I think I would have ran. I'd be like, all right, I'm in the desert by myself. I'm out here by myself. I'm hearing things, right? And he instantly knew it was God. And starts to approach and go, God. And God says, hey, you're in a holy place because I'm here, so you need to take off your shoes. So he takes off his sandals and he starts to talk to God. God starts to give him this message, hey, you have a purpose. You have this purpose. You're going to go into Egypt and you're going to lead my people away from them. You're going to free them. Now, if you know some of Moses' history, he knows who he's talking about. He was part of them. He ran away because he did something horrible. He killed somebody. He felt shame, right? And he was hiding. He was kind of living that life of like, okay, I got away with it. And now he has to go back, right? And this is where he's sitting. And he's kind of making every excuse he can. I'm not good at speaking. I want you to know, I've sat in Moses, I've read that verse over and over and over, because there are many times I thought to myself, God, you can use somebody much better than me up here on this stage. I'm not the best speaker. And when I'm reading scripture, guess what happens? I start to stutter, I start to mess things. I got told last week, hey, the cross died on Christ, huh? Yeah, theologically, maybe, I don't know, right? But I like to mess things up, and God can use me, and I know that now, and I bless him for that, and he can use my mistakes. I love that, right? I love that he can do that. Now, does it bother me? Yeah. Right? It's just part of who I am. It's part of us, I think. You know, we don't want to mess up. And this is where Moses was with God. He's like, I can't do it. You got to find somebody else. I'm not good at speaking. I'm going to go there, and I'm going to stumble over my words, and they're going to be like, who, you think God sent you to us to free us? You can't even put a sentence together. And so he kept making these excuses, and God said, all right, take your brother-in-law. Take somebody with you that you trust that can help you. And he goes, all right. And now we're in Exodus 4, and Moses answers, what if they don't believe me or listen to me? And say, the Lord did not appear to you. Like, this is the excuse, right? And I think we can live in this spiritually, right? I think we can live in this so simplistically that we can go, okay, what if God has moved in my life, but I also carry 40 years of baggage, and if people come around me that have known me for like 10 years, 5 years, 1 year, they're going to go, prove it. God really moved in your life? Come on now. I saw you last week, buddy. Right? And we live in that. And we can easily, and Moses was living in this. And it was easy to have this as an excuse to live in, right? And this is his answer. The Lord said to him, what is in your hand? Now, I find this very fascinating, that this is his question back. What is in your hand? Doesn't attack his heart. Doesn't attack anything else. Doesn't say, hey, what are you doing? What is in your hand? Right now, look at your hand. Just open it up. Look at it, right? Now, hit yourself. Just kidding. I wanted to see if Austin would do it, right? Look at it, right? And he says to you right now, what is in your hand? A lot of you are going to be like, well, it's my my spouse's hand if you're loving, right? Or it's nothing, right? But this isn't what God was meaning in this moment, really. But he goes, I have a staff. I have a staff. Right? And it's something common that shepherds would carry. And the Lord said to him, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake. And he ran from it. I don't know if any other verse, like, yes, I agree with Moses right there. I'm throwing this on the ground, what are you doing? And it turns into a snake. I'm like, okay, I'm going to be way over here now, all right? I'm good. I don't want that near me. I got a couple of friends that I play golf with, and, you know, we've been places that they're deathly afraid of snakes. And I'm afraid a little bit of snakes. If I know it's a small gardener snake, I'm not that afraid, and I'm a horrible friend, all right? Let's just put it there. I don't mind grabbing them and going, ha, right, and acting like I'm going to throw them, right? We're not friends anymore. I don't get invited to many places with them anymore. But in this moment, his staff became a snake. Just that in general would freak you out, right? And he starts to run, and he says, no. The Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. What? Repeat again. Reach out, grab it, take it. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake and turned back into the staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my... Oh, sorry, that's a little later. This is awesome. So, we go back. We see we have an excuse, right? And Moses is giving him... Or not Moses. God is giving Moses a purpose. I want you to know, God has a purpose for you. Has a purpose for you. But we have a tendency to live in this moment. To live with the excuses of going, hey, if God knew who I really was, he could not use me. This morning is a great example, right? We had a, I don't know what, right? I'm not a technician up here, but it didn't sound good for a couple seconds. But man, did they play through it? Yeah, I think it was awesome. And then they replayed. I loved it. They're like, I'm not going to let this bother me. We got this, right? But we can live in that moment of like, what if I mess up? I don't know about you. If I was leading worship this morning and that happened to me, I would look at our senior pastor and go, okay, we're not worshiping today. It blew up. We're done. Sorry, church. Good luck. Just means we get out early today, right? Now, me as a pastor, we go, oh, that just gives me more time. Ha-ha. We'll just read all of Exodus today, right? But living it, we can live in that moment of like, there's got to be another way. And let me tell you, I went through all the purposes of my life, right? And it's by identity, right? And last week, we talked about claiming inheritance. The moment we claim inheritance, guess what comes with it? Purpose. We have a reason to live, right? Mark Twain puts it this way. There are the two most important days in life are when you are born and the day you find out why. That's a pretty substantial statement, right? Finding out why you are alive, I think, is a world trying to figure out who they are and why they are here. And God gives you purpose the moment you claim his inheritance. Do you understand that? He does. You can see it written all through the New Testament, what that purpose is. To live, to breathe, to be here for God, others. Right? And when we look at the world through those eyes, we can't do that without the purpose that is God-given to us, right? But we have a tendency to live in this scripture. We have a tendency to go, God, please that, and when we look and God responds, look at your hand. What's in your hand? Right? We live in that moment of going, okay, listen, I've got to do this, 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 and this is who I am. I cannot be what you've called me to be. This isn't who I am. And we live in that, right? We discover this at an early age. We start to find the excuses of why I failed, right? Is failure a bad thing? All right. I feel like, especially when it comes to God in us, it's a very scary thing. Am I right? If we fail God, is that a bad thing? No. All right. See, I would have told you much differently younger. You guys are a lot more advanced. Maybe you should be up here preaching this. But I will tell you, in my early years of developing a relationship with God, and even through my years of being a pastor, I feared failure. I feared failing God because I understood that the purpose of what I was doing was so much bigger than anything that I could ever sustain. I didn't want to be up here and ever mislead anybody. I never wanted to be up here and say something that was totally off the wall and then people walk away from God. I didn't want to be up here and not entertain and not be something that's exciting about God's gospel. Why? Because God's gospel is full of excitement. Across from a table with somebody who asked me about God too. And it scared me. Because what if I say the wrong thing? And their eternity is chosen from that point on. It's a scary thing, right? Is that just me? Because I don't think it is, because if I look at how we communicate with people about the gospel, I don't think we do a very good job. I think we're scared to step out there because, first off, what if they question us? What if they pose a question I don't know? What if they shatter my faith in two statements? Right? Is it just me? We live, I think, in that moment of fear. Moses lived in fear. He knew what the call and the purpose from his life from that point on. Can you imagine that God comes to you today and says, okay, I need you to go to Washington, D.C., and I need you to lead my march and let them know we love them. We love the politicians. We love everybody that's there. We love everything. We want them to know God loves them so much that he sent his son to die for them. Now, that's such a thing it's so abstract that we're not going to do it, but I want to make it personal now. What if he's called you to do the same thing at work? To be God's voice, to be his hands, to be his grace, his love, his mercy, life-changing, asking people, hey, how can I pray for you this week? After you just made fun of the boss. You see, we carry baggage with us, and it limits our purpose. And this is what Moses was carrying. This staff represented that. And God tells him to throw it on the ground. Tells him to throw it on the ground, and it becomes a snake, which was like a symbol, right? The Satan. And throws it on the ground, becomes this, right? And he tells it to grab it by the tail. Becomes a staff again. Guess what that represented? It repurposed everything in his life. All those doubts, all those worries, everything it was, guess what God did with them? He took them and said, you are bigger. I am bigger than those worries, and I can carry you through this. You hold on to me, and you can make it through my strength only. Think about that. You see, God looks at you and goes, okay, you claim my inheritance, I repurpose you for this life. You are not here just to make money. You're not here to just go to work. You're not here just to do your 9-to-5. You're not here just to exist. You are here for a reason. People need you in their lives. Do you know that? That God has a call in every single one of you. Do you get that? Every single one of you. That he's sitting here with the burning bush, whether you recognize it or not, whether you've stopped there, and it's this moment that's holy that he goes, listen, I love you so much. I have a mission for you. I have a purpose for your life. And guess what it is? It is to share the gospel with the person in your life that doesn't have the gospel. It means you are to go the extra mile with the person that you don't want to even be around. It means you see your neighbor as not somebody you fight with about whose lawn you're touching and what's going on, and your tree's leaking leaves over on my lawn and I'm frustrated with you, and you see them as a person that God has created, and they're right next to you, and you get to love on them and go the extra mile. Like, it repurposes everything, and you change how you see this world. You see, Moses was fearful of going back. Rightly so. Right? And a lot of it was from his failures. A lot of other things are also because of who he was, and he didn't think he could do it. But only through God, all things are possible. Right? And he started living that way, and he picked it up, and he said, okay, this is who I am. I am this God that repurposes your life, that gives you meaning and understanding, and walks out the front door, and you go, okay, I got a mission today. I'm ready to fight the fight. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to be what God has called me to be. You don't go, can I survive this Monday? I don't know. I'm already worn out. Right? When you have a mission in your life that's as enthusiastic as chore day on Saturday for my wife, right? You can move a mountain with God. Is remembering we are repurposed. The moment we claim inheritance. We've got a new family. We've got a new father that loves us no matter what, that sent his son to die for us, that we can be cleansed, that we don't have to be bound by our failures anymore, that we are living this life with a purpose, and that repurposed life is for him. And we wake up going, okay, God, how are you going to use me today? You see, it's a change of perspective. It's a change of who we are. And it's not just one time that you're repurposed. I guarantee you, because Jesus confronts this too in Luke. Let me find it real quick. Luke 9, 23, 24 says this. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. It doesn't say monthly, doesn't say Sundays, doesn't say just Wednesdays, it says daily. It says, if you want to be my disciple, you must die to yourselves, right, and take up my cross and follow me. Whew! Once you start living that life, the words of this world, the things, the actions of this world are seen through Jesus' cross. Death on the cross. And what they say and what they do, Christ has taken them. If they are mean, they're hurtful, and they're just manipulative, guess what your response is? Through Jesus, grace, mercy, love, patience, kindness, gentleness, all things that this world doesn't understand, And we have a mission to show them those things. Do you realize that? And it doesn't matter about our failures. This is the cool thing, too. I've seen it in my life. The moments that I have messed up. The moments where I have said things that I totally regret. I have learned the moment I humble myself. The moment I have asked for forgiveness. Man, it opens a door to share the gospel. It allows them to understand God doesn't make me perfect the way the world sees perfection. He makes me perfect the way that He sees me. And in that perfectness, even though I mess up and I stumble and I fall, He comes along and goes, okay, let's make this good. I'm going to use it to glorify me. Does it give us the okay? And if you read Corinthians, it doesn't. It doesn't say, oh, you should just go ahead and go sin everywhere and let God just come along and show the grace of Him, right? No. No, that's different. But He also says, Jesus says, you can't do this without me. I've set a standard that's so high, so beyond our efforts, that it's only through me that I can do this. Jesus gives us the way. All right? Purpose is taking what's in our life that holds us back, throwing it on the ground, allowing God to take it and repurpose it in our life, and we grab it back and we go, okay, now I have a reason to be here. I have purpose in my life. I'm excited to wake up on Monday. I'm excited to get going on Tuesday. I'm excited for that lunch that I've been kind of dreading before this and going, okay, God's going to use this. It may be a frustrating lunch, but God's going to use this. Right? He repurposes our life and we see it from a different point of view. So this is what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask you this week, each day, I know this is going to seem silly, each day, look at your hand, right? Just take a look at it and you're like, oh, that's a good looking hand. I like that line. I wonder what that means. Right? Look at your hand and ask yourself, what have I been holding on to that I've been allowing to define who I am that God says, let it go. Let it drop. Let me show you for what it is. It doesn't need to define you. Let me repurpose it. Let me let you bring it back up and go, okay, this is who I am because of God. I'm all these faults, I'm all these things, but God has made me new and He's made me this, and I'm able to live for Him. And I walk out and I step up on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. I almost skipped Wednesday. Wednesday's a good day. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and go, okay, God, use me. But I'm going to tell you right now, start your days with that. Start your days with the moment with God that you're looking at, okay, God, what am I carrying that I need to let go of? Every day this week. And I want to hear your stories. I want to know, hey, God gave me a purpose. I'm excited. And I would also challenge you, too, if you haven't been excited to follow God lately, if you've feel like your heart just hasn't been where God wants it. That you feel like, man, I'm not feeling God. I don't know God. That spirit just isn't residing in me. I guarantee you, pray this prayer. Look at your hand. Do what Moses did and say, what is it that I can do? And you put it down on the ground. And that day, you live with purpose for God. Do that. And then I want to start hearing how God and you are just so much closer. right? That he's challenging you. And maybe even this week you'd be like, he told me to go to my boss and just let him know, hey, I love you in God's name and I'm praying for you. And you know, if there's anything extra that you need me to do, I'm here for you. Right? I didn't want to do that. It was tough. That boss, he's a jerk to me sometimes, and he puts extra load on me, and I just, ugh. Right? Take these moments to reestablish God is our maker. God is our creator. God is our one that defines who we are from this point on, and if he's called us, imagine what if Moses decided not to do it, what would have happened? What did the rest of, like, Exodus look like? Right? We wouldn't have had the moment at the Red Sea where he's planting down that staff and going, okay, let's show this entire group of people how big our God is. We wouldn't have had that, maybe. Imagine the moments that we allow our fear, our frustration, the things that we carry get in the way of what God has really designed you for. All right? Stand with me. Look at your hand. I know it's going to be weird. It's a weird way to exit. Look at your hand. Not at me. Look at your hand, right? And just go, God, what am I carrying? God. Come on. Repeat after me. God, what am I carrying that I need to throw on the ground? All right. May that be your prayer this week. May you find your purpose in him this week. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for what you did in Moses' life. We thank you for the burning bush moment. We thank you that he dealt with fear and trying to figure out who he is and what he's called to be, dear Lord. Because we can come along and sympathize with him. Lord, I pray this morning that we ask the question, what is the purpose of my life in you? I pray that we don't come up with any excuses, and if we do, we lay them down on the ground and you repurpose our life for you. Lord, we thank you this morning that you are a God that gives us a purpose, that gives us a reason to wake up, to live a life. May we go love the way you've called us to love. May we pick up our cross daily and follow you. We give you all the praise this morning. Lord, as we dismiss this morning, may we be in your presence. May we go out into a world and may we bring the light. May we be carriers of your light in this world. We do all things to glorify you. Amen. You're dismissed, church.